Blog Talk Radio.
There's a praise on the inside that I can't keep to myself. A holler stirring up from the depths of my soul. So excuse me if I seem a little giddy or maybe even strange. But praise is the way I say things. Sometimes I just get so bubbly on the inside. I just want to holler it out. Come on. There's a praise on the inside that I can't keep to myself. A holler, holler, stirring up from the depths of my soul. So it kills me if I seem a little.
Hallelujah. Got a praise on the inside? I have a praise on the inside. I just thank you, Jesus, for another opportunity to be a part of your word, be a part of your giving to us, dear Father, as we receive your word. And now we open up our hearts and we open up our minds. And I invite you to go get your swords and call a friend. Tell them that it's time to let's take out some time of the day and let's hear what thus said the Lord. That's going to get you throughout the rest of your evening. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for right now just being a part of our lives and a part of our ministries, walking with us, talking with us, protecting us, building hedges around us, dear Father. Dear Father, just shaking your finger in the devil's face and demanding that he take his hands up off of our lives, off of our finances, off of our health throughout the day, dear Father, when we know not outside of our sight, you're still working on our behalf. And we say thank you, Jesus. May I decrease and may your ever-lasting love just increase and just shower us, dear Father, Throw down a rain puddle of your blessings, of your knowledge through this word right now in Jesus' name. I, your servant, said thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. I'm going to give you that opportunity now. Let's go ahead and get started. You go get your pen, get your paper, get your mind ready, get set. Here we go. Sister, let's do our scripture, please. One moment, just one moment here, sister, and we'll get you tuned in and on. All right, I think we're ready now, and if we can go ahead and get our scripture started.
Today we're going to do First Chronicles 29:11 through 12. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty. I'm sorry, 11 through 12. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty of splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, in the kingdom you are exalted as head of all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power. And again, that's First Chronicles 29. Verse 10 through 12.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Not just the prayer that David prayed. Hallelujah. We just thank you, Lord Jesus, for your just giving us your word. Thank you, Jesus, for just speaking to us through David. And that as the prayer that he has prayed, as it touches our hearts and it leads us to closer to you also. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And again, just giving you that opportunity to get yourself relaxed. I know it's a little earlier. Some of you just getting off, and I've got a little email said, give me a couple minutes. I don't want to miss anything. So praise be the name of the Lord for that. We're going to just give you that couple seconds. And in the meantime, we're just going to play another song for you. God bless you. And here we go. Let's get it ready to, and we're going to go out with Survive by Mary Mary.
Telling myself on the last mile, on the road to somewhere, I put along the way out, the wind and the rain, and to my surprise,
Amen. Amen. Just surviving another day. Just making it through another day. Just wanted to talk to you a little bit about today. There's so much going on in the world. We have so many prayer requests. Just for anyone that is caught up in any of the tornadoes or floods, or it is trains derailing here and there and exploding day after day. So we want to reach out and pray for every family that is involved in any of those situations. And I remind you not to get so caught up in our everyday journeys that's going well for us, that we forget that somebody else is less fortunate than you. Someone just lost their home in one of the tornadoes. Someone is still trying to dig out of the rubbish. Someone just went through a flooding zone. Someone just lost their loved ones in a train derailment. I remind you to take out time each and every day and find someone to pray for. And especially those that watch the news on a daily basis. Don't just sit there and look at how bad things are, but remember, if they're in your sight, it's for a reason. If you choose to watch the news, then make sure that you stay in constant prayer for every situation that is not of God there. Amen? When you read the stuff in the media, you should go into prayer. I pray for the situations that I hear about with the in the entertainment business, in the religious business, and then deep down in the ones with deep faith, you know, that is being moved. You got to pray for your sisters and brothers on a daily basis. Hallelujah. And then on the upside of that, when you look out and you see on your Facebook page or what other media source that you're looking at, and you notice that someone is having a birthday or you know, just in your prayer, say thank you, Jesus. If you don't get the opportunity to reach out to them on that media source to say happy birthday, I try to, but at least pray for them. That's another year that God has brought them, he or she, through all kind of different things to keep them here for this day, for this time, for this reason, and that they find their purpose for being here. Hallelujah. Breathing is not something that we should take for granted, because it's not something that we're always going to be able to do. We can even try to take our lives, but if God says no, you're still going to continue to do that thing called breathing. You can plan to live forever and ever, but if God says no, you're still going to have to stop doing that thing that you wanted to do so bad, which is again called, you got it, breathing. So every breath that we take is a blessing. And I'm just asking you to reach out, look around the world. It's more than just you. It's more than just your household. It's more than just your city. It's more than just your state. God has created a whole world. And we need to pray for all creations, all living things. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Lord Jesus, for all your creation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask special blessings over ministries of women in power, men in power, teen in power. We send a shout out to the overseer of the different organizations out there that is pushing hard to just show the word of God, to just give it out to someone, to just serve it up on platters to someone that may not have heard anything about Jesus Christ today. Hallelujah. They were just on my mind for women in power, but I reach out to all of the different ones. The organization of Why We're Waiting. It's an organization for parents that have lost kids. Just while we're waiting until we can see them again. We send a shout out to that organization, doing a tremendous job in helping parents just waiting. Hallelujah. You got to live on while you're waiting. You got to continue your destiny while you're waiting. So we just thank God for different organizations like that. And just wanted to put that in your ear and in your mind. And if it's some organization that you're needing, you're grieving or grieving or whatever your situation may be that you just haven't, you don't know where to turn, I'll be more than happy to reach out and help you, get you started in the right direction. I have a lot of resources that can help you on your way. Hallelujah. God bless you all, wherever you may be. Mr. Bickstuff, Mrs. Bickstuff, you better watch out. You better watch out. You may be doing everything right today, and you may not consider helping anyone, or even, and then remember, this help may not be just your finances. With your time, whatever that you've learned throughout life, you can help someone by sharing that with them. But Mr. Bickstuff, I just came to remind you today that there will come a time when this lifetime ends. When this lifetime ends, a lot say, well, forget it, it'll just be over. But I want to introduce you to another life. It's going to be eternity. And it's going to begin, and that means it goes on for infinity. Hallelujah. So what happens when the person that was Mr. or Mrs. Bickstuff on this side, in this lifetime, in eternity, they become the beggars? And what happens when that beggar now is royalty? What happens? I know we don't like to talk about that because we get it all mixed up with all the Botox and all of the cosmetic surgeries and all the things that we can do, and we can freeze our bodies, and we can do all kind of different things now. We just get sometimes under the impression that, you know, I can be an atheist, I can be whatever, I don't need to believe in God because after this lifetime, it's over. This is it. So I came to just, God has placed it on my heart to talk to you today and let you hear what he has said. Let's turn to the book of Luke that is in the New Testament. You know, Luke. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, we're looking at Luke, and we're going to be in chapter 16, starting at verse 19. Again, that's chapter 16, verse 19. And I invite you to please follow along with us and just pray with us in the name of the Father. So we're talking about the rich man and Lazarus, okay? And this is another Lazarus. This is not Mary and Martha's brother. But we're talking about the rich man and Lazarus, okay? Starting at verse 19, it says, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. And I'm just going to read through from 19 to 31, and then we'll come back and speak about it. Amen? Verse 20 says, and at his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away and with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I'm in agony and in the fire. But Abraham replied, son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, but now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you is a great chasm that has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross from where you are to us. He answered, then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not come to this place of torment. Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. He said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. Hallelujah. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and luxury lived. Now, it's very important that we understand that it's not the, it doesn't give us a lot of details about, you know, the poor man and what he was dressed in. He was a poor man. It tells us that the poor man sat outside of the gate of the rich man, correct? All right, and then outside of that gate, the beggar, the poor man, his name was Lazarus, and he was a beggar, and he was covered in sores. Can you just see this now? And he's sitting outside of the gate. He's covered in sores, and he's longing to eat from whatever would fall from the rich man's table, whatever scraps. So it's not that the rich man was not giving to the beggar, because it said he was longing to get whatever he could receive from him. So, you know, he tossed him a little something every now and then, you know. It wasn't that he could not afford to get something to maybe take him to a doctor to even get the sores looked at, because he's, again, remember, a rich man. So he would have been able to do that had he been willing to. Had he been willing to, he would have been able also maybe to invite the beggar inside, maybe for a full meal, hallelujah, had he been willing to. And had he been willing to, can't you see that he would, as a rich man, been able to maybe give him a job on his property doing something to earn some wages, to get a clean shower, or give him a clean set of clothing. Had he been able to, all of these things would have been available to him, since he is then, what, a rich man. Do we agree? So now, but instead, we need to look at the fact he did give. He was throwing him a little crumbs from here, you know, maybe to keep his status up. Maybe he was afraid if he offered the man help, that the man may come up and more and become something, you know, and maybe he would do a little bit more than he would. Maybe just his recognition from coming to a beggar to now being a member of society would have threatened the rich man's status. I'm not for sure. I'm just speaking of maybe these are some of the reasons why the rich man chose not to help the beggar more than he did, because we know that he was able to, but still chose not to. Hallelujah. So even the dogs had a little generous and came to lick the sores. But it doesn't say any time that the rich man bought any kind of salve or any kind of a cream to rub on him to ease some of the comfort. Because if you got one sore, we can nick ourselves. We can get a paper cut. And you know how irritating that can be. Now come on with me and imagine that all of these sores on this man. Hallelujah. Can you imagine all of the pain and the agony that he must be going through on a daily basis? And that's not a situation where you can kind of get used to it. No, it's got to keep you up at night. It's got to keep you moving around. You will find anything to kind of scrape those sores, looking for any sign of release. So when the dogs would come to lick it, it probably was a big release of pain and just seconds at least for him, if he could get that relief. So it tells us then, as we move on, that it came a time, and that's what I like about this verse, and we talked about our speaking tonight, of the time came. Because it tells us at verse 22, it says, the time came when the beggar died. It came a time when the rich man died. Now, it doesn't tell us so much as far as how they died, but it tells us, importantly, that when the time came, when the beggar died, it says that the angels carried him to heaven. Now, see, Abraham's side, Abraham's bosom is showing us heaven, the covenant that God had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that they would be in heaven. So it's showing him that the angels came and took him into Abraham's side, which signifies heaven. So it tells me then that the rich man, when he died, he was buried. Now, it doesn't tell me that the angels came and took him into heaven, but he's the rich man. If the rich man has lived in a royalty society here on this side, some may ask the question, why is he not the first to be issued up and taken up to Abraham's bosom? Well, let's read on, shall we? God has answered the question. So it says, in hell, in hell, where he was in torment, we're speaking of the rich man. Follow me now. It said he looked up and he saw Abraham far away. He looked up from hell where he was in torment. It doesn't tell us any day that particular that this rich man had lived in torment on this side, in this lifetime. But it does emphasize about the beggar being in torment. But now our roles are reversed because it has came a time. The time has came, and it's a role reversal. Now, not but because the man was rich. No. Because remember, we spoke of the opportunities that the rich man had. Being rich didn't stop him from being entered into heaven. He would have had even more willingness in his heart. It was up to him to choose to deep down off in there and do what he needed to do, right? So it's not because of his rich status. So don't get that mixed up now, and don't write me talking about, you know, why can't rich people be in heaven? That's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying that this is what God is saying. God has given us an example of what you have. If you allow that to block what you should be doing, who you should be, that it will prevent you from getting into the kingdom. Amen? So let's just read on again. So now the beggar has been ushered by the angels taken into the side of Abraham. And the rich man is now in hell. He's in torment. And he looks up and he sees Abraham, which is far away from him, but he can see him. And he can also see that Lazarus is by Abraham's side. Are you following me here? So the rich man calls out to him, and he says, he knows who he is. He said, Father Abraham. See, all is going to be revealed at that time, whether you believe it or not. He calls out to him, Father Abraham. He said, have pity on me. He knew that it was power in where Abraham was at. He knew that he could feel and see the anointing of Jesus Christ on Abraham. He said, have pity on me. He said, well, you just send Lazarus. You know, I'm not asking you yourself, Father, to go anywhere, but if you just send the beggar. See, he's still looking at Lazarus as the beggar sitting outside of his fence. So he says, well, you just send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger. Oh, I'm not asking for much. If he can just dip the tip of his finger in water. And then send him to cool my tongue, just to dip the tip of his finger in water to come and cool my tongue. Oh, if you could just do that for me, because you understand, Father Abraham, I'm in agony right now. I'm in agony in the midst of this fire right now. But Abraham replied to the rich man, and he said, son, remember that in your lifetime, you received your good things. You received your good things. I'm sure he had all the cold water he can stand. I'm sure he had all the best meats and vegetables that he could stand. In your lifetime, you had your good things. But while Lazarus, who you're still looking at as a beggar, while Lazarus received bad things, but now he has comfort here. Lazarus is in comfort right now, and you're the one in agony. Was it fair for you to walk past the beggar every day, is what Abraham is saying, paraphrasing, and not try to bring him up, not even up to your king status, up to your royalty and status, but to just even bring him inside of your home, to get him in a better condition than what he was? Was it right for you to pass by him every day and just toss him a little something when you had the ability to bring him up off his bottom and onto his feet? Into your home, outside of the gates, the inside of the gates. He said, was it wrong? He said, but now you're in agony. He said, and besides all of this, he said, between us and between you, there's been a great chasm that has been fixed so that those who are where we're at cannot get to you. And also, anyone who wants to go from where you're at to cross over to us cannot get to us. It's already been fixed. It's already been fixed. Where you at, we can't get to you. And where I'm at, you can't get to me. So then the rich man answered. He said, well, you know, I'm begging you now, Father Abraham. I beg you. Then I beg you, Father. Again, if you're just sin Lazarus, if you can't get to me, to help me cool down, if you would just send Lazarus ascended to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Please, warn them, let them know about what's going on, about where I'm at, so they will also not come to this place of torment. Please let them know that they need to repent of their sins. Let them know that they need to do right. Let them know that they need to find God. Let them know that they need to stay in the Word. Let them know that they need to start living the Word. Please, Father Abraham, will you let them know? Will you let them know that they will not be able to come to this place of torment? How many of us is doing the same right now? You're in your car and you look down on anybody else's. You think no one else is important but you. When you're in your zone, you're in your zone. What you do is yours, and it's just like you're guarding yourself. You're guarding your heart. You're afraid to let love in because you're afraid of what everyone is wanting from you. They're always wanting my time. They're always wanting me to donate something. They're always wanting me to come and speak over here in this here at this event or that event. They're always wanting this, and that's not what I'm wanting to do. I'm wanting to go hang out. I'm wanting to go be with people of my caliber. I enjoy looking down my nose at somebody. I've got to be. Somebody's got to be on top. I enjoy being the head. You should enjoy being the head and not the tail. You should also enjoy lifting somebody up, being a protege, an example, showing somebody. Hallelujah. Opening the doors for somebody. Whatever you've been to school and you got all of these degrees and you got all these letters before your name and after your name, but you share none of that knowledge with anyone. You don't have anybody that you want to pour some of that into. So when you die, you just lock that up and kill it with you? See, that's what we're talking about. That makes you a rich man that's not going to be eligible to get into the gates. Hallelujah. So you pass by. This single mother may live right by you every day. And you see her struggling. And you have a few extra dollars, and you decide, whoa, what am I going to do with this? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go back, and I'm going to refinish my whole closet. And you take all of those clothes that may be able to fit her or someone else in a shelter home, but you refuse to give them away. You would rather them set in your closet and rust than to give them away. Oh, yeah, now you may sell them to somebody for some price that no one could afford, that really is in need of them. But instead of that, since they can't afford your price, you'd rather keep them there. Or if you go into your closet, ma'am, you go all the way to the back, and you find something and pull something out that you would never wear anymore. And you said, yeah, I will give this. And then you go brag about what you've given. So you take those shoes that's all scuffed up, that tie that you know is all raggedy and frail now, and then you want to give those away. See, that's what we're talking about. Rich don't mean that you don't have any financial needs. You may be just full of different, living from Peter to pay Paul. But whatever you have, if you're not willing to share of that, that's when you become ineligible. That's when you're collecting your good reward here. But a time is going to come, verse 22 tells us. The time came. I come to remind you, a time is coming when all of that's going to be reversed. See, when you go into the closet, you need to pull out something that you would be loved, be proud to walk out in. Give that away. Give that away, sister. Give that away, brother. Yeah. You know, sometimes we go into the stores, and I myself personally, I get something, and I say, well, you know what? This is nice. I love this. You buy it, but it just don't seem like it's yours. And I go somewhere and somebody was not just a regular compliment, but it's something about it. They will compliment on it, and immediately the Holy Spirit will say, give it to them. Immediately. This is the outfit that I bought that I love. Sometimes I haven't even worn it. I may be showing you this. But the Holy Spirit will say, give it to them. I get joy to give it to him. Oh, my God, I got to give you my outfit. I said, girl, I can't take that. What do you mean? No. I'm telling you, I need to give you this. This is your blessing. He had me buy it, but this is your blessing. We've got to learn to be more humble. We got to learn to listen to the Lord. We got to learn to be willingly to give. So we don't find ourselves in these situations like the rich man. The rich man is only known as the rich man. Did you notice that? The beggar, God made sure that he told us his name, Lazarus. The rich man was just known as the rich man. Because that's all he had. That's all he cared about was his royalty. But now he finds himself in a place of torment. He finds himself in hell. He finds himself in a pit. He finds that he can't get out. He can see where he wants to be, but he has no way of getting there. It's already put in motion. He can't get from here to there. They can't get from there to come and rescue him now. It's over. This is his eternity. So not only is he in torment, but he gets to look up and see where he could have been. Whoa, that's hell. Now he wants to warn his others. Can you go warn my siblings? Can you go warn them? How many right now is saying, can you go warn my family? You know my boys? Go warn my boys that it's not what we thought it was. You know what? Can you just send somebody? But Abraham says they already have. They have Moses, and they have the prophets. Let your family listen to them, is what he said. But the rich man said, no. See, Father is like this. If someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. They're not going to listen to Moses. They're not going to listen to the prophets. They're not going to listen to the word of God. You can turn on your TV and find someone preaching the word almost 24 hours a day right now. But no one wants to listen to that. Everybody goes past that. Nobody wants to listen to that. No one wants to go down in prayer. They want to go to some voodoo person. They want to go to some soothsayers. They want somebody that's just going to tell them, look in a crystal ball and read their future. Tell them which way to go, who to marry, where to put your money at. Nobody wants to put in the work. But Father Abraham says God has already put it in place. God has already sent somebody to deliver your family, just like he had them there to deliver you. But it's their choice to choose you this day. Who you going to trust? Who you going to love? Who you going to serve? Life or death? Choose you this day. Choose you this day. So he said to him, this is Abraham speaking to the rich man, verse 31, he says that, if they do not listen to Moses, and if they do not listen to the prophets, if they don't listen to the preacher, if they don't listen to the ministers, the evangelists, whatever title, if they don't listen to the man or woman who's got the word of God in their mouth, delivering it to them firsthand, if they don't listen, then they will not be convinced. Even if someone rose from the dead, if they rise from the dead, they still would not be convinced that this is the true living word. See, if you block your heart and you don't want to hear, you're not going to want to hear, regardless of who it is. I remind you, God is a good God, and he wants none of us to perish. The opportunity is here, just like it's for everyone else. You have a way out of that mess. There's no need for you to get yourself involved where you will be spending eternity without Jesus Christ. And if you right now have decided that this is your time, that you want to seek and serve the Lord Jesus Christ, I invite you to repeat after me. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, I am a sinner. I believe that you are God and you brought and gave your only Son. I believe that he shed his blood for me. I believe, dear Father, that if I repent of my sins, you will forgive me. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. We're out of time for today. You can reach me at AOL.com. Walk with me, God. We love you. In the meantime, get on the phone. Call your friend. Go in the archives.